Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acotta back on The Fan, 877-337-6666. You know, we got the draft coming up on Thursday, and we've been waiting a while for a decision from Darren Waller, BT, on his retirement or not. What the hell's going on with him? It's like, if I'm the Giants, just want to move on already. And then you just alerted me to some news about Darren Waller. And
well, yeah, it looks like his wife, who, I don't know, it's going to be his former wife.
Now, she's
imagine.
In the WNBA, right?
Yes, yes.
Kelly Plum? Plum.
Is it? Yeah, I know it's Kelsey. Is it Plum or Plum?
I'm not 100% sure.
It's definitely Plum. All right, thank you, Big Zoo. Yeah, she just tweeted something there. You know, obviously something happened there between man and woman. Not my business, but apparently not good for their relationship.
Well, but it also does play into, yeah, I'm not going to get into his business either, but it does play into potentially him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need Darren Waller. Who cares?
Yeah, well, but he's under contract.
He can play anymore. I don't even know if he wants to play anymore.
Well,
contract.
That's the problem. Can
give
you
him
just,
a contract? Yeah,
no,
give him a contract
for saying,
anything.
I'm saying, doesn't he have a contract? Like, if he wants to come back, can they just cut him and go away?
Well, if
that's
he retires,
what I would do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it would be.
I would move on. I want somebody who wants to play. Not somebody
I'm with you.
Questions.
I don't know how punitive it would be in terms of the cap. Trust me, I mean, it's one thing to be into the weeds on the Daniel Jones contract. I'm not really there on a tight end who has no impact or bearing on their team thus far and probably won't move
forward. I
mean,
Waller
forward,
was a big pickup.
Darren Waller was amazing, but he was hurt a lot even toward the end before the Giants got him. Darren Waller was right there with Kelsey, with Kittle, and maybe in some respects better. Darren Waller was unstoppable. But that's not the same dude.
Well, you talk about toughness. I mean, there's no way he could be better than Kelsey or George Kittle. First of all, he's not. But I see what you're saying. Like, productivity, they were using him as a weapon.
I'm going to stop you.
No, he doesn't have the toughness, the heart that those two guys have.
I'm talking about just from catching the ball. Like, Darren Waller?
George Kittle would run through a wall. He would smash Darren Waller into pieces.
I'm not saying that
Darren Waller, like, hurts his toenail and he's out for 3 weeks.
Well, I think it was more soft tissue. I don't know. Don't make me go digging into the weeds. But just let me give you Darren Waller's best season, just to show the man some respect, because he had a year or two where he was, dude, at the age of 28, he had 107 receptions as a tight end.
I like the move. I thought he was
nine touchdowns.
I thought he was a weapon coming in here.
He was.
But then you learn a little bit about the player.
Yeah.
And
hurt a lot.
To me, he doesn't have the heart. He's always hurt. The idea that somebody could be questioning retirement at his age.
Yep.
Now, maybe he's going through some stuff clearly in his personal life. Fine, but I wouldn't want that to be my problem if I'm the Giants. Like, I got a team to build here. You got a job to do. I'm telling them, like, look, Darren, you know, we want to give you time and space and all that stuff. I feel like we've done enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make a decision here. We or not even take the decision out of his hands and go and, you know, make the call.
Yeah.
Move on.
I just, I don't know what's going on. I'm sure the reason why he's all over the map emotionally is because whatever allegedly happened, you know, and that's their business. I'm not here to litigate that on the air. But I think that the injury history, like, there's not a correlation. Just because you're hurt all the time, which he's been, doesn't mean that you don't have heart.
Yeah,
I mean, you can be
I don't think
the most injury-prone player in the league, and it's just out of your control, but you have heart. You know, it just oozes out of you. You just physically can't do it. Your body doesn't cooperate.
But when you compare him to George Kittle or Travis Kelce, where George Kittle on a broken foot would go out there and play and rip your heart and soul out.
I just meant as a pass receiver. That's it.
Yeah, no, I know.
Down the seam for a couple of years. Not the other stuff.
Like fantasy-wise, sure. Yeah. I mean, I take my chance on Waller. Matter of fact, I did last year, and I got burnt by that. So,
you took him last year?
Yeah, well, yeah, going into the Giants season, thinking he was going to have a big year.
Really?
Yeah, guess how that team did. Terribly. Yeah. It was awful. By the way, just watching the replay of the Knicks game as we have it on in here.
Yep.
You see Starks going wild last
night. He was bonkers right on the baseline. Yeah.
I mean, Johnny, I thought he was going to headbutt one of the Sixers at some point. I mean, Starks was going nuts.
Yeah, Spree's been there. Bernard King's been there. But Bernard's been there a lot this year.
Oh, of course,
Spree's
Mello.
Been there a lot. LJ Mello. Mello wearing shorts.
Yeah, your boy Mello was there last night.
Tim Thomas.
Who?
Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas means nothing to me. Thomas.
Yeah. What was his comment?
Fugazi. The Fugazi.
Yeah.
And then we got swept.
Come on.
Yeah.
That was the Isaiah. Welcome to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Knicks fan. 2004, Isaiah brutal, Thomas. Dude. Welcome to the playoffs. What?
That was that Net team. They just had a layup line at our expense. Up top, alley-oops, Jason Kidd. That Knicks team, Tim Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Timmy was a really good college player. Timmy had some good years in the NBA, but Tim Thomas is a Knick. Means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah, it is odd.
Zero.
It is odd who gets back in the good graces. Like, we know Allen Houston is always there, part of the guard.
Absolutely.
Garden. LJ, as you mentioned, Starks.
That was on the payroll.
Yeah. I'm assuming
Like an ambassador.
Yeah.
So is Sprewell.
You know, it does stink that Oakley is not involved in any of that.
I don't know. I love Oak, but
even Ewing,
I love him.
It was nice to see Ewing back there.
Yeah, passed me there a little bit. Who else? Bernard King. Bernard's the interesting one. Bernard's really been back a lot. Boy, Bernard put a few pounds on.
Yeah, I know. Marbury was back for a game
recently. I saw that. Got a good ovation. Stephon, he's usually not there.
Bernard, though, I feel like my memory of him is he's always been, like, overweight. I don't remember him as a player. So I remember after he retired and seeing him in the crowd or wherever, and I always felt like Bernard was
A little thick.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a quick Bernard story? Yeah. This is pretty cool. So I went to his basketball camp. Did I ever tell you this one?
No, as a kid?
Yeah, I went to out in Long Island, Garden City, Long Island. I forget what schools. I'm St. Anne's, if that might actually be it. Anyway, I went to the, his old buddy, Ernie Grunfeld, who used to run the Knicks, the GM, you know that. And they played together collegiately over Tennessee. It was the Ernie, because Ernie was a little bit better. The Ernie and Bernie show. And then they started this camp, and it was the Bernie and Ernie all-pro basketball camp, whatever, all-pro, And
now, how old were you?
I was probably, I'll tell you exactly, hold on, because it was 85. I was 10 or 11. 11?
Okay, all right. You got to be in heaven.
I was, first of all. But then Bernard King came. Have you ever gone to basketball camp away where you sleep there?
No, baseball I did. Not basketball.
I used to go to, not that I was anything special in hoops, but I played quite a bit. I went to probably about five or six different camps during the summer. You'd go for a week, you spend the night there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you sleep in the dorms. It was awesome.
Love that. We did that with Rich Martin at Hofstra.
Oh, over at Hofstra. Yeah. So you actually spent the night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a week.
That's great.
I loved twice we did that.
Your parents give you like $40 for the canteen to get a slice of pizza. You got to chill. Like, you get ice cream.
That was awesome.
Pizza.
But just
at
that age, 13, 14, whatever it was. Going away, staying on a campus like that.
It was so awesome.
And events every night, and baseball, the practice in the morning and the games maybe at night. It was awesome.
And then you eat in the cafeteria. So I'm eating in the cafeteria with my team. And this was right after Bernard's knee surgery. And he sat down and he had dinner with me and maybe it was a team of eight or nine of us. And he sat right next to me. And he showed us all the scar and the zipper on that knee. It was a much less refined surgical procedure compared to now.
How could you eat after seeing that?
I just kept saying, please get back. Come on, get back. And I remember my dad would always bring home the news in the Post. And even then, at that age, my only updates on anything, whether it was Nettles, whether it was Bernard King, was reading the papers. And I felt like Dr. Norman Scott, he was the old Knick doctor, orthopedic surgeon. There were quotes in the paper, like, I was searching for him every day. Like, when I only saw him play like for half a year and he got hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's unstoppable. And he sat with us. I know that was more than 30 seconds, but sat with us in the cafeteria.
No, cool.
And was awesome.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 877-337-6666. We're talking Knicks. Big win last night. I just still can't help myself. I don't feel like it's sustainable. Even though they're up 2-0, if the Knicks continue to play like this, they will not beat the Philadelphia 76ers. Ron is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, you're missing one point. I would agree with you, but because Anunoby is back in the lineup, the Knicks defense is giving up 11 points less a game when he plays. And because of that, the defense being that much stronger, that will keep the Knicks in every game.
Yeah, I don't think their defense has been particularly good in this series.
The Knicks? It's
fine. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm not looking at it saying, wow, the Knicks have shut them down. Like, I've seen the Sixers shut down Jalen Brunson. I have not seen the Knicks shut down Joel Embiid or Tyrese Maxey. Like, where's their great defense?
They only scored 205 points in 2 games.
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, you want to do math? You could do math. I'm watching the games, and thank you for the call. You think, BT, they've played well defensively?
I think they've been very opportunistic. Obviously, if there is one thing that's bothered me, it's Maxey's getting to the rim a little bit too easy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's kind of springing loose, and he's popping into the right into the heart of the defense, and he's finishing because that's what he does, whether it's a floater or maybe a little bit more of a direct take to the rim. But I don't think that last call is really off base. I mean, the Knicks have given up, 104, 101. He's right, 205.
Mm-hmm.
What did they average during the NBA regular season? I know it's not the best measurement, but and they didn't have Embiid for a good chunk, so it might not be the most accurate depiction of who they are.
I don't think defense. Now, I will say. I think Mitchell Robinson, we talked about this after game one. I think Mitchell Robinson has done a really good job defensively. But as a team, I'm not sitting there saying, oh, man, the Knicks shut down defense like it was in the 90s. I look at, and they've been fine. It's not a problem, but I don't think that they've been some great defensive team. I'm looking at them as their weakness being offensively. Where is the scoring coming from outside of Jalen Brunson? And they've hit a bunch of threes. Hey, you take enough, you're going to eventually hit them. Now, when those shots aren't falling, then what? Then what are the Knicks going to do? And so far through 2 games, they've done enough to be able to win both these games. I just don't believe that it's sustainable. I'm not knocking their defense. And Mitch, to me, has been the best defensive player in the series, not Anunoby, but I'm also not saying that, hey, this has been some great defensive, you know, showing by the Knicks in 2 games.
I listen, when you really boil it down, I probably agree. Great is strong. It's a little hyperbolic. Obviously, good enough fits. It did pop up. Mm-hmm. Sixers averaged 115 a game during the regular season without Embiid playing a big chunk. So, you know, they're pretty explosive team, and the Knicks have held them right around 12-ish points below their average, so that's a big win there. No, but this is not like Pat Riley, mid-90s Knicks defense, because you almost can't do that with the rules. But I think the ultimate strength of the Knicks, and I remember saying this before game one, why I really love the Knicks then and certainly now too, to win the series, is because the Knicks are one of the few teams in the NBA that are top 10 offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. So, no, they're not an all-time great defense, but they're good enough. They're going to get enough stops. They're going to get rebounds. And they're going to put the ball in the hole enough. They're very – if you notice about the Knicks are really not prone to droughts. Remember the old Knicks teams where they could go 6, 7, 8 minutes without scoring a point?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a different NBA, that plagued the Knicks a lot. The Knicks really avoid that, and they very rarely just get buried where they give up a buck 30 and they just look completely porous. I don't know that they're great at anything, but they're pretty good at everything, actually.
Right. They may not be great at everything other than the heart and energy and toughness and all that stuff that they're
rebounding. They're pretty good.
But the fact that they have different guys, that one night Deuce, one night DiVincenzo, one night Bogdanovich, that helps them out because they don't need – those guys can't do it or haven't done it consistently every night.
Yep.
But they have enough options to where, you know, okay, well, this guy's not getting it done. We need to get this guy going.
Somebody's got to get Sal the DiVincenzo jersey.
Oh,
somebody's
got to
get on
no
this.
Chance.
I don't understand. Fellow Paisan, how do you not love Dante DiVincenzo?
Man, guy, he chucks up shots.
Chucks.
He does.
Chucker is a guy who just guns at will and has terrible efficiency.
Yeah. He was one shot away from being a bricklayer.
What?
If he missed that
That's what you take away?
Absolutely.
Can I tell you what I take away? Yeah. I take away, after he bricked the first one, I take away that he had supreme confidence, and not everybody wants to take that shot.
That's fair.
That speaks a lot. Like this guy, Dr. DiVincenzo.
You like his toughness. I love his toughness,
and he's an athlete. Yeah. He's not nailed to the floor.
He's like a nice
jump. He's fluid. He's bouncy. Yeah,
he's a good sixth or seventh man.
Oh,
what? That's not a knock. Pat is calling from Morristown. A good sixth or seventh man. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Sal. What's going on, man?
How are you, Pat?
I just have a question for you. I just don't understand all the Knicks hate from you today. To be honest, what exactly do you think?
Not just today.
Yeah,
well, in general. But what exactly do you think they need to be doing in order to make
the Canny the hero, Sal will tip his cap.
Well, are you talking about just the series, or are you talking about in general?
Well, in this series, to start,
yeah.
I mean, they won two games. It's the playoffs. It's not going to be easy,
right?
You know, like it's going to be tough no matter who they're playing.
Right. Oh, well, how about not take a miracle to win one of the games, number one? And really, for starters, how about Jalen Brunson playing to his level? Is that too much to ask?
But they still won, though. They're winning games.
Pat, you're missing the point. They still won, but it's not sustainable with Jalen Brunson playing the way that he's playing. So you can be excited about two wins, and I can look at it and be smarter and say, yeah, that's great they won two games, but they have to win four to win the series last I checked. It's not a best of three. It's a best of seven. And with Jalen Brunson playing the way that he's playing, I do not believe the Knicks will win this best of seven.
But you also didn't think that they could win that kind of game last night, and
Correct.
They won the exact game, and he played worse than he played in game one.
So I thought Brunson comes back to play, like, you think they can win this series, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think he's going to have to in games three or four specifically. At least one.
Okay. All right. I completely agree.
Well, so then we agree. So it's not Knicks hate, and thank you for the call. It's not Knicks hate. I mean, you may not want to hear it. Tough. It's how I feel. So you're going to hear it. Hey, it's okay. Brunson hasn't done anything, but you know what? He'll get back. Just like yesterday, BT, callers were calling saying, hey, you know what? Brunson, confident callers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sal, you don't know what you're talking about. Brunson's going to go for 30 tonight. Now, how'd that go? I watched the game. We watched the same game. How'd Brunson look? To me, he looked the same as he did in game one. Not good enough. And if they do that again, now I don't know if he's going to do it again in game three or game four. I'm not getting into the predictions. My prediction would be that if he continues to struggle the way that he has in game one and game two, the Knicks will not win this series. Now, if he goes out there and plays like the Brunson that we saw and loved in the regular season, then they will win game three or game four. And if they do that, if they go up 3-1, you got to like their chances in this series. But if they continue to play with fire like they've done by playing a subpar, in my mind, game one and certainly game two, in which they should have lost that game, outside of the result, the Knicks are very fortunate with the result. Outside of that, there's no way they can continue, in my mind, this style of play and win this best of seven, not best of three or best of five.
So, to me, and this bodes well for them, I think the Knicks could win 120 to 117, and I think they could win 94 to 91. I don't know that Philly can win the second type of game. I think they could win the first type of game, you know, where
they're not tough, the Sixers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the two studs are doing what they do, and then maybe whether it's Harris or whether it's Lowry, who you got to respect and fear. I feel like every time he shoots, it's going in, Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
Even Batum, who was great in the play-in for them against Miami.
Yep.
You know, those guys are capable contributing nights where, you know, they touch 120 and they look like an offensive juggernaut. But yeah, that's where my confidence ends in Philly. When it's time to muck it up and get in the weeds and get in the dirt, you saw it last night and you saw it in game one. Loose ball, that's the Knicks. Fighting through a pick, it's the Knicks. Protecting the rim, Knicks.
Yep.
I just feel like the Knicks are...
Well, that's why they're up two games to none, you're right.
But also better. And that's where we differ, and that's where we disagree.
Well, better as what? As a team?
Better as a basketball team.
Better at certain areas?
Better at more areas than the Sixers.
Right, so we're getting back to it again. And by the way, in case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, is a better team, deeper team that plays harder going to prevail over a team that has the two clear best players in the series by far. Not even close. Embiid, Maxey, by far, each of those players can take over this series at any moment. Take over a game, take over the series at any moment. They got two of them. Knicks don't have one. Or they do have one, but he hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't shown up yet.
That's where it's at. You tend to think that the team playing as hard as it can will
prevail.
But
it's not just the effort, Sal. That's where I got to keep correcting you. It's also... they shoot threes. They rebound.
Right.
Like the tangible things. They're good at those things. And they're good at them all year.
Understood. And it's worked so far in two games. I could say that they got lucky. Whatever. They've won these two games. Let's see if it continues here. Best.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Seven, not best of five or best of three.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
What happened? So the guys down at WIP were going to jump on for a half an hour, mix it up, and they bailed? They bailed after the loss? When did they tell you, Hoff, that they didn't want to jump in? What the hell happened? Was that Spike?
No, it was not Spike.
Spike wouldn't run away from this.
So, first of all, like, I don't know about you. I'm not even really into doing these things. I've heard some of them over the
years. I remember Joe and Evan.
Yeah,
I thought
right.
It would be fun while I mix it up. But if they don't want to come on and take the heat, we don't need them.
I'm just saying, truth be told, like, it's not my cup of tea, but I would have done it.
Yeah.
Have some fun, whatever. New York, Philly,
sure.
IP, Spike Station.
Same family,
have some
same
fun.
Company, all good.
Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio were supposed to be on. So Hoff, it's Hoff's idea. He tells about it last week. We're like, well, we can't do a Friday. I forget what it was.
We were both lukewarm. It's not like you're like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. We're like, all right, you know, we'll
do
give
it
a shot.
Fine. And then Hoff said, all right, scheduled. We booked it yesterday. Scheduled today at 1:20, whatever, 1:30. We'll have them on, do a little crossover. This morning, Hoff texts us, they backed out. Yep. They canceled.
Why? What was the? Who sent you the text? What happened?
I've been in touch with their producer.
Okay,
on and off.
What was his reasoning?
And it's
tough loss.
Yeah, they want to react to the fans. Want to react today, so they want to give
that. I can respect that. I can appreciate that. But if
still,
But if they would have won, they wouldn't have wanted to react to that either.
They knew there was a game last night.
Exactly.
They didn't think that was going to play in. Hey, got news for you. You could either go down 0-2 or 1-1. Like
either way, they're going to react.
Yeah. Right. What'd you think it was going to be?
Well, I think they thought that they had an easy game, too. They thought that they were going to lock it up and come back tied 1-1.
Yeah, well, then they don't know these Knicks. And I don't even know that they know their Sixers because this Sixers team is soft.
They are soft. We agree there. I mean, that's part of the problem from a Sixers perspective, that if they had any ounce of toughness or fight, any kind of will, they're just relying on talent. And the Knicks have just snatched it from them these first two games here. The series should be 1-1 at the very least if the 76ers gave some effort and heart. They have not. They're down 0-2, but now the series will shift. And what's the old saying? The series does not begin until a road team wins a game.
That's true. Yep.
Well, we'll see here. And I will feel great about the Knicks' chances in this series if they get one of the next two games. And I'm not certain that that's going to happen, especially, BT, if they play the way that they have played in these first two games. Chris is calling from Monmouth County. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal. Hey, BT. Thanks for taking the call. And I got a lot to say on these Knicks. And I'd like to make one quick point, if you guys are both on me, because you're both obviously watch sports. You're in it forever. It's your life, right? It's your career. It's a disgrace, LeBron James and AD, some of these press conferences, and even Embiid. The professionalism. And I'm a near 50-year-old dude. Like, it's to me, I have no respect for AD, for LeBron. It's all about the image.
Well, would they do something? I saw
LeBron
Embiid last night.
You know, Embiid,
so let me just say one thing here. And the Bulls killed us. Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, those guys would never hold their head down in a press conference when the reporters are going. They may not be friendly, but they would talk to each other in their face. Maybe it's a different generation.
It looked
AD
pathetic.
Dropped the mic.
Embiid looked pathetic last night. He said something that had some substance to it. You're guaranteeing you're coming back, and there could be legit. I believe that there's merit to what he was saying.
What Patrick said, it meant something. But look at the video.
Well, but it never came to fruition when Patrick. Patrick said, I love Pat, but every time Pat guaranteed we're coming back, we never won.
Yeah, Pat's the one guy the guarantees didn't mean anything.
I agree. But BT and Sal, BT, you and I are in lockstep. Sal, respectfully, I don't know what you're watching, man, because the Knicks are not getting lucky. And when you say Ananobi's having a bad game, you got to be careful with the words. He's not having a bad game. He's not having any game. It's uneventful. He's showing up where it matters. And that is what the Knicks are. You think we are not having any chance to win this series? They are a soft team, Philadelphia. This is who we are. We are not the Denver Nuggets. We are not the flashy scoring team. We are grinding blue-collar guys. That's what we do. This is the game we're always going to win. If we're going to make it to Boston, this is how it's going to be. What you're seeing as a Knicks fan, I respect. But on the other hand, I don't think you're really watching close. There's no luck in playing. We are the better team. And by the way,
Chris, you're right. There's no luck whatsoever. They happen to win one of the more improbable games of all time. And thank you for the call. They won one of the more improbable games of all time. And you're hanging your hat on that? Oh, there's no luck involved. This is what we do. Oh, that's what you do? How about this? You're so confident? Why don't you do that every game the rest of the series? Why don't you do that every game the rest of the playoffs? How do you think that's going to go? This is what we do. How do you think that game plays out 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times? I got news for you. You lose it. Now, they won. You give them credit. But don't sit here pounding your chest like this is what we do. You should have lost the game. If the Sixers had any semblance of basketball IQ, they would have won that game last night. If they had any heart, they should have won the game. It's not a knock on the Knicks. That's the reality. The Knicks were down. They were dead. Brunson got the roll, and it gave them life. Then they got the benefit of the whistle. And their energy, their heart, Hartenstein, BT, obviously giving them a second chance. Like, you could say you could make your own luck. Do not sit here and tell me the Knicks do what they always do, and they were in that position because they want to be in that position last night. You take that every time. You would not. They got lucky to win that game. That's what made it so special, that it was improbable.
But there's something to be said for being, I'm not even sure what the perfect word is, as steady as they were when things were going awry. I think that's, again, it's less quantifiable. You know, it's not a stat. But, like, as things are going bonkers and haywire around the Knicks, including a horrendous call, if somebody could explain to me with the Kyle Lowry call where they found, with the when they did the replay with DiVincenzo and Kyle Lowry, they overturned the call. Mm. I like, so the Knicks didn't get every whistle here. Now they got a nice bounce from Brunson, and if they don't get that, true, they don't win the game. But if the call,
the final thing with Maxey going to the floor,
but there's fair. But there's always a sequence of events before, whether it's the ultimate play, the final play, or the penultimate play, the second to last play. Like, I think the refs missed a couple of things both ways here. So, you know,
that's fair. Do you think the Sixers have cost themselves in these first two games, or the Knicks have really won these first two games by playing well, beating a good team?
I think it's much more the Knicks have won. And that's where we completely disagree.
Right? I look at both teams and say they're not good enough for different reasons. Knicks play hard. They play smart. They play the game the right way. Just not talented enough. Philly has the talent. They're just not good enough. They stink. Philly stinks. So I look at these two teams. Respectively, to the expectation, I don't think either of these teams can do any real damage in the Eastern Conference. For different reasons, as we said, but I think the Sixers have cost themselves both these games. If they were actually good, they would have beaten the Knicks in both, not just one, both. By the way, that's the reason why I felt better about the Sixers after the play-in game, was because I watched the Sixers and said, man, they're not that good. Like, this is, I know they won the game, but Miami is a much better team than Philadelphia. And we've seen that now play to fruition. Ultimately, though, I do think if this keeps up, it's going to start to go the Sixers' way. It's been two games, not four. A lot of you guys are taking bows after two games. It takes four to win a best of seven. You should know better.
I think it's nuts to think the Knicks are going to sweep this here. So I'm going to frame it this way. Better, although I'm pretty sure I know your answer. I want to hear it, though. So more likely, in your opinion, it goes seven, Or it goes five.
Seven. 100%.
So you don't think that the Knicks win a game in Philly? You think they come back donut?
I think even if they do get one, yeah. I think the Sixers can win a game five.
Then you think Philly has the capability to come back and
yeah, I mean, you asked me what I think is more likely.
I got you.
Do I think it's more likely the Knicks put them away in five? Or I would say that I would have said before the series started, Knicks in five. Now, after watching the first two games, I would not be, I'd be surprised if it went fewer than six or seven.
And based on the tone of the series, I don't think either answer is crazy.
Yeah, right.
I really don't. I'm just curious.
What would you say right now? You think more five?
Five.
Because they're not going to lose it. Five. Knicks won't lose at home, and they're going to get one of the next two.
I'm going to stick with my Knicks and six, which is what I said before, the series. But I would probably lean more five, because what I value more than you, or at least what you're putting your emphasis on more versus me, to me, is Nick. See, the Knicks get off the bus, and there's just certain things that are coming with them through the tunnel and onto the court. And that's non-negotiable. And
we agree on that.
That is going to help them win this series.
Right. We agree on that. We just differ on how far that could take them in this particular series.
Yep.
BT and Sal on the fan. Look, we'll watch it play out. And off night tonight and tomorrow. Game three on Thursday. You got the draft. And game four is Sunday afternoon.
Sunday
right?
at 1. Before.
And then back at the Garden for game five if necessary.
Is it Tuesday? I think I saw Tuesday. Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right. We'll see. I mean, look, yeah, it'd be nice to watch.
And by the way, if necessary. a little parenthesis.
Well, we know this. It's not going to go. If it's going to go five, it means the Sixers aren't going to win the series. Mm-hmm. Sixers can't sweep.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sixers can't end it in five.
Yep.
They have to hope that it's going to go six or seven. All right.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Be an interesting spot tonight for the Yanks. You got Rangers game two. See if the Mets could bounce back after losing two straight for the first time since dropping five in a row to start the year. We'll do a lot more baseball tomorrow, BT.
You think your Mets are going to stabilize this thing here and finish up strong out west?
You know what I was thinking last night watching that game? That, wow, I'm at a point where even losing two in a row, like, it just doesn't bother me. And even if they lose again to the Giants, like, doesn't bother me because I'm happy that they have a season now.
Mm-hmm.
During the course of a season, you're going to lose three in a row. You'll lose five in a row. I'm not worried yet. Now, look, if they lose six, seven in a row.
I got you.
But, like, I'm not even concerned yet about this team. Even with the Alvarez news, I wasn't overly concerned. Now, I do think the starting pitching is going to be an issue, overuse of the bullpen, all those things. But for now, they've stabilized to a point where I'm not going to worry and overreact to each game or each series loss. I mean, they're due to lose some games here.
I think that that makes sense, actually. I think that that's a smart way to look at it. When they were 0-5 and the way that they were losing and how impotent and just substandard they looked, I mean, they've given you a season. And we all know that they've got issues. Most teams do.
Right.
But the NL is very crowded, you know. And you have a horrendous Marlins team in there. Nationals aren't very good. They haven't even played those teams yet. You know, you get a chance. This is bigger picture stuff. Well, again, we'll do more baseball tomorrow. Right. But, you know, where the Mets are, listen, if they if they get swept by the Giants and take some starts out of the trip based on how they started, winning the first two, knocking around Yamamoto.
Yeah, you don't want to go 2-4.
No, but if you come back 3-3, keep it moving.
Yeah, and with the Yanks, when do you start?
And they got to start hitting.
Yeah.
They got to start hitting.
Like, will it bother you to split with Oakland? I know you're already annoyed.
I'm already bothered by the way they look because, and this, tomorrow's going to be, depending, but even if they hit tonight, tomorrow's going to be more of a state of the Yankee address. There are so many deep issues, and, you know, I think people are still kind of leaning on the notion, well, it's early, and, you know, I think there's a real chance that these inconsistencies that we're seeing now, this is more reflective of who they are.
Biggest,
like, the Yanks got problems.
Right. Biggest concerns that I would have
but
right
Rodon
now.
But Rodon ain't one of them.
Yeah, no, he looked good. I mean, it is the A's, but he did look good.
ERA 2.70. Yeah.
He did look very good yesterday. Yeah, not going to take that away from him. But the fact that they got shut out again shut out by the A's. Volpe looking
hits,
lost.
Four hits? What they
Volpe
have?
In a leadoff spot and Judge. Those are the two, for me, biggest areas of concern. We'll do more
and
of that
Doris.
Tomorrow. Yeah, well, but I'm not counting on
him. But he's in a contract year.
Yeah, I get it.
And he's been a dog.
He went the other way. He folded. We thought maybe he'd rise to the occasion or at least have a decent year. Yeah, Yankees, bottom line is, Yankees still do have some issues here. All right, BT and Sal on The Fan. We'll finish up on the phones. Brian is in Mattawan. What's up, Brian?
What's up, boys? I got to agree with Sal. Last night's game was very all luck. The Knicks, game one was a collective win. Everyone had a part. But last night, I mean, they got to stop rushing the shots. They got to settle down. I mean, Brunson is a key factor. We need him back. Yesterday, you just saw every time they had a chance to take the lead, they would use different ways to pass the ball and then just shoot the ball anywhere. Anyhow, from the corner, from the top.
Yeah.
And it was banging. They were missing everything. And if they just got to settle down and play collective basketball, drive.
Well, listen, Brian, I thought the Knicks played better in game one. And it was thanks for the call, dude. It was frustrating watching that. Like, every time they either scored or got to within a point, you're like, all right, one more bucket, you take the. And they could not cross that threshold for a while. And I thought that they were uncharacteristic in their shot selection. I thought the Knicks, that's why I think the last caller made some astute points. They were rushing some shots there. But that, to me, is out of character. That is not who they've been. You know, and Brunson's He's got to be stressing a little bit here. He knows the season he had. He also knows how he's looked so far, and he's not looked good at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and obviously we have disagreements about this, but I think that it really just comes down to one thing. If Jalen Brunson plays the way that I expect Jalen Brunson to play, the way that he's played all year long, the Knicks are going to win the series, no problem. We'll worry about next round, but I need to see Brunson play like that. The fact that he hasn't through two games is of high concern to me. And while I value what the Knicks do well, I just don't think it's enough in isolation to overcome Brunson not being at his best and the superstars in Embiid and Maxey.
Listen, we know where we stand. We see it differently. I do think that the answer might actually be somewhere in between.
Okay, give me it.
I don't think that Brunson's got to average 30. I don't think he's got to be an MVP to win this series.
Just be efficient. Yeah, I'm not saying 40, Berger, but like...
Just meet us in the middle. Don't shoot 7 for 29, and, you know, don't be in a high 20s or low 30s. Like, you know, if you tell me Brunson... Listen, if Jalen Brunson, if they play 5, 6, 7 games, and Brunson shoots 42%, that would be an appreciable drop from who he was in the regular season.
But you take it.
You can't go down to 30. Right. And if he's at 42, 43, then they could sweep him.
And that's why I keep saying, I've said it all along, by the way, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app, podcast version as well. I want an efficient, you need to get a DiVincenzo jersey.
And my son loves him.
I want an efficient.
Look at him flexing. That's for you.
Yeah, I saw
it. We had the game back on, and that was when he stuck it. He's just flexing. Yeah. He's saying, Sal, won't you eat that?
Yeah, I know.
How's that taste?
He's good. Sour, as a matter of fact. I want efficiency from Jalen Brunson. Not just, oh, yeah, give me 40 points.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, he's getting some points at the line, but it's not efficient.
Nope.
You need that efficiency throughout the course of a game.
No, he looks off.
James is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, James?
Fellas, appreciate you taking the call.
Thanks for making it. What's up,
buddy?
Major buzzkill today, bro. Major buzzkill. Like, the whole city's riding high off this win, off these last two games, and... obviously, you disagree with what the energy is around the Knicks and around the fans right now. But I don't know how you could say it's been subpar. The only part of the team that's been subpar has been Brunson, and he's still active, creating shots for other guys, getting in the mix. And he's got guys who – they're defending him really well, man. They got guys who are 5, 6, 7 inches taller than him, and he's just grinding it up. So in my eyes, you know, you got their two superstars, 30-point games in both of the games. They're not getting enough from the supporting cast on the offensive side, but defensively they can't play any better. So I'm looking at it like they got to show me more to convince me that the Knicks don't win this in 5. I'm going to say 5. But you can't really get better efforts from our 6, 7, 8, 9th guy coming off the bench. Bogdanovich hitting big shots yesterday. We're getting contributions all across the board. Our two bigs playing very well.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how the word subpar can be mentioned in this conversation with the Knicks right now.
Well, I mean, you said it, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's a superstar, and thank you for the call, James. Jalen Brunson's a superstar who's carried this team on his back since Randall went down and Ananobi as well. And he's not done that in the first two games. And while it's been great effort, great fight, great energy, all the above, incredible wins, last night a miraculous win, it's in my mind, it's not sustainable. Oh, and by the way, you're right. The energy, everybody's fired up about the Knicks. I get it. It's 2-0 in the first round of the playoffs. I'm sorry, but I'm a little more weathered than that. I'm not going to get excited about 2-0 in round one while watching the team, in my mind, hasn't even played well yet. Now, there's more levels to them, and maybe that's a good thing, right? Like, hey, yeah, but when Brunson unlocks, they're going to take it to another level. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for. But to celebrate and dance in the streets and come on and be all excited about the Knicks, yeah, it's a great win, but I'm worried about the series. They're in the midst of a series right here. They're very fortunate to be up 2-0.
Did you see the Villanova's social media accounts taking a little heat?
No, for what?
I'm going to juxtapose this. Imagine if the Sixers had, you know, three guys from St. John's on the team.
Right.
And it's the same Sixers-Knicks matchup.
Okay.
And they're doing damage, and they're crushing us. But they're playing down in Philly. But they played at St. John's.
Right.
And the St. John's social media account's putting out, you know, great job, DiVincenzo. Look at our boys rolling and keeping up. Mm-hmm. Like, so basically, people in Philly, because Villanova's in Philly, they're like, what are you doing? I mean, whose side are you on?
How would you feel if it were the other way around?
Dude, I just want to get one guy from St. John's in the NBA that has an impact. So I guess I'd be happy on some level. I don't know, but it's an interesting dynamic. So the internal strife down in Philly, I love it.
Flip is on Long Island. What's up, Flip?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Flip. How are you, Flip?
Guys, you're making the point, right? You're clearly saying the Knicks aren't playing well. They're not playing to their capacity. And we shouldn't be excited. I mean, Brunson has shot worse than he shot all year. To say that Maxey is that much better of a player than Brunson, yes, they're
being
different. Physical, much different.
And in this series,
right, I get it because they're letting them tug people, and Maxey's able to get some space, so it looks like.
And listen, I don't care what the reasons are. You watch the two games; the two best players by far in this series have been Embiid, who's hobbled on one knee, and Maxey, not Brunson.
Well, they played better. That's all. But you're going to tell me right now you'd rather have on this Knicks team you'd rather have Maxey or Brunson? Maxey then Brunson.
Yeah, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, that's right, it's
Brunson,
hard to equivocate
just
the two. You know,
played well. He's getting to his spots. He's definitely forcing it. But the Knicks just need to relax. If the Knicks relax, they're fine.
Well, we're talking about relaxing.
We are relaxed. Yeah. We're feeling pretty good. It's this guy.
No,
he's not too relaxed.
The Knicks they don't need to relax. They need to get Brunson going. Once they get Brunson going, BT, if Brunson goes out there, drops 30 in game three and the Knicks win, then we will start to become on the same page again, you and I. Until I see him get going, I will not believe what this team is doing is sustainable.
And to illuminate the bottom line difference, it's this. He could go out there, hope he does, and I don't want to keep tempting fate, but he can shoot 9 for 26, and I still think the Knicks could win because I think top to bottom they're better, and I know they're tougher.
And so far they've proven that up two games to none. All right, that does it for us. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Let's go Rangers! BT and Sal be back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks to Zoo. Thanks to Hop. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.